that you just got a bit of a window into what it must be like for the players. Like, we're hitting small numbers compared to what some of those guys hit. Yeah. Now, speaking of generating a heap of interest, let's hope that this game lives up. And this one should keep our good friends, the Sharks fans, who have been so kind to us this week, this should keep them happy. Well, the Blues have a new Origin coach. What else have we got, Steve?
Mate, we talk about not only the game of the round, but the game of the season with the Warriors and the Panthers. And we also have a look at seeing if someone's going to break the curse. Can someone win the comp from outside the top four?
Yeah, and we'll also talk about the spray that we've copped on socials this week. It's the Sharks fans' turn who have not taken too kindly to our call to remove Shark Park as the home of their first semi-final. Oh, love it. Some of the names we get called.
Yeah, so unbelievable. I thought the Warriors fans were the harshest, but the Sharks fans have rivaled them this week. They have not missed. They're very passionate about their home turf, mate.
And it probably didn't help the fact that you were wearing a Dragons shirt, because some of them made comments like, we could just play at Cogra because that's never used for semi-final time. Yeah, I did like some of those comments.
Yeah. Yeah, I certainly won't fire back, but I'll be wearing the hat now for the rest of the season in protest, mate. The Sharks fans can go jump in a river.
Mm, well, they've told the pair of us to go F ourselves. So you did say before you jumped on that you'd rather go with the Wombat than me, so I didn't take offence to that.
Yeah, last week the Kiwi fans, the Warriors fans, were talking about Wombats. At least it's each other, so I'm not sure which would be worse, mate. But let's see who we're going to piss off tonight's episode.
Fantastic. Yeah, you were saying before we hit record, like, that you just got a bit of a window into what it must be like for the players. Like, we're hitting small numbers compared to what some of those guys hit. They must cop an absolute barrage when they disappoint a punter who had money on something or some other thing that they've done wrong for the team that this guy supports. Yeah, crazy stuff, right?
Yeah, 100%, mate. To your point, we only get a couple of negative ones. It's more of a laugh and a joke for us. Or the overwhelming comments are positive, obviously, and talking about footy. But you can imagine just looking at some of those comments and how brutal they can be for something, you know, that was just an off-the-cuff remark that, you know, people that are putting money on games and, you know, super coach points and all sorts of things that people think are life and death. And these young players are in that generation where they live and breathe social media. So I could only imagine how hard it must get for some of them that, you know, this is their whole life, right? So we obviously laugh it off, but it can get pretty serious pretty quickly as we're starting to learn.
Yeah. I've actually just joined in with them. Like, one Warriors fan in particular this week, good sport, and just said, oh, mate, you're hilarious. Like, this is good stuff. You need your own show. Maybe I should invite him on here. But, you know, he took it well. And, I think ultimately people just love having a crack, and we're happy to give them a platform to do so.
Yep. Keep them coming.
It gives us a laugh too. And as we talked about, it helps us reach more people, so we can't complain.
No.
Now, I'm getting a bit of seasonal disorder or whatever because it's fucking freezing here in old Sydney town. It was 1 degree this morning. Like, I can't cop that, whereas you're sitting there in your undies and a T-shirt. Yeah. Mate, this ain't right.
No, I do love the Queensland weather, mate. I've been up here now 20 years. I don't miss the Sydney winters, I should say. But no, it's been a little bit cold up here, but nothing that you've been facing, mate. We're still in short sleeve shirts and getting around in shorts anytime, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, maybe we do the grand final show from up there because I'm up there that week. So
lock it in.
Work something out. Yeah, nice. I'm definitely wearing pants for that one, mate, just so we're clear.
Very good.
So speaking of blue, the Blues have, well, Laurie Daly's confirmed that he has stepped away. That did actually happen on Monday, but we thought we'll just leave it and wait for the official announcement on Matt King. And that's the way they've gone. What was your initial thoughts on the choice?
Yeah, look, it was pretty well known that that was going to be Laurie's last season, even though they held it out for a little bit longer. You know, he didn't want to take the gloss off the players in the win. So we were expecting that. It clearly took a large toll on Daly. So, you know, he gets to go out on his terms, which is huge for him. Look, for me, it's an interesting one. Matt King, so he's been around, obviously, the Roosters system for quite a while. He spent some time under Trent Robson for a number of years. And then he's been assistants to both Maguire and Daly over the last few years in Origin. So while he's played Origin, he certainly wasn't someone who racked up, you know, 20 or 30 games for the Blues. But he's been around Origin as a coach and a player. So, look, hats off. You know, I've heard a lot of people that know him and interacted with him speak in the media over the last few days. And everyone has only good things to say about him. You know, very good bloke, very clear in what he's doing. You know, I've heard him only speak a few times because he certainly doesn't, you know, look for the limelight himself. But he speaks a little bit like Robson from the Roosters, where he's very clear, very direct, very measured in his approach. You know, he's come out and he said, you know, I want toughness in my team already. These are the sort of players I'm looking for. So early doors from what we know of his experience and background and his first couple of press conferences. Look, yeah, hats off and good luck to him, mate. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, I don't know what to think. I think it's, you know, let's just suck it and see, right? Like, we don't know what we're going to get. Yeah, he's certainly got the right pedigree and he's done a heap of coaching already. He's been in the Blues system. Maguire had him in there and Daly decided to stick with him. So he obviously knows what he's doing. It's just whether he can make that next step and be that inspirational leader that Loz talked about. You know, he said when pressed about coaching, a bit like Big Mal was, right? Like, he's the guy, the figurehead, the leader, the guy that inspires them into action. He's not the X's and O's. He's not the strategy in any great depth, although I'm sure he's hands-on with that. So it will be interesting. I don't know where else we go. That's the thing. Like, Boyd Cordner was one choice, and he maybe he's that, but maybe not too, not maybe not far enough removed from some of the players still playing. We don't really have a Billy Slater type figure that would step in there. Well, I still like the idea of getting a club coach who's got a setup that he could step away. I know the rules prevent that, but I would have loved to have seen Maguire come back, although I'm sure the Broncos wouldn't be keen on him stepping away given the season they've had. Or Ricky Stewart comes to mind just because of what he did with previous rep teams. He brought back the hate when he took on New South Wales. He did so well there that they put him straight into the Australian team. And then from memory, he might have got flicked for a comment he made. Just going back 20 years. I think you and I were still working at Fox, mate, so that's a going back.
Yeah, I think he had a bit of a run-in with the referee in a tunnel by memory, I think, poor old Ricky. So, yeah, the big one, the interesting one for me wasn't so much Matt King because we all knew there was going to be a new coach coming. The big one for me was it was a two-year plus a third option in the contract. So that basically rules Ivan Cleary out for a few years. So everyone's, you know, was of the understanding that Cleary had slid straight into that Blues role, or that was the favourite in the market. So, you know, that shows that that's certainly not a locked-in situation. And, you know, let's hope King does well and he's the long-term New South Wales coach. He's set up well for that. He's obviously had ties and affiliations to NRL teams, but he's not there day in, day out anymore. So he'll be full-time New South Wales coach. But that's another interesting one for Ivan Cleary. You know, obviously, Kevvy Walters is one that's got a job for the current time frame. But who knows, at the end of this World Cup, Australia will be absolutely up against it to try and win this World Cup with some of the Pacific Island teams. So, you know, potentially Cleary heads towards that role in the future, or maybe Cleary just does head off into the sunset. So it's an interesting one, mate. I thought this New South Wales coach, whoever it was to be, would only be a one-year contract. But for him to get two, mate, good on him. He's clearly very passionate about the Blues job, and he's already you know, well into to planning and working on what he wants and how he wants the team to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think he will be like Billy Slater from that in that regard. He said, "If you are eligible for New South Wales, I'll be watching you." So yeah. I imagine he's going to be someone who's all across the detail, and he's going to have a really good idea of who's who. I was interested in hearing Paul Kent talk about Craig Bellamy's stint in charge of the Blues back at the start of the Queensland reign of dominance. And he talked about how he'd had conversations with Bob Fulton about the different players he's going to pick, and he said he probably played it a bit too much like club football and going, I know what I'm going to get out of these players, instead of going, okay, well, this is Origin. Like, this is what I need. Like, I don't know if maybe that's changed in 20 years, given how data-driven the game is compared to back then. And maybe that if you've got somewhere to hide, people talk about Terrell May and his defence, for example. If you've got somewhere to hide, then Origin's going to expose that even more. If you've got strengths, it's going to really amplify those. So, yeah, I don't know. But it will be interesting to see if who he picks and how he goes about it. But you used a word at the start of this, and that was one we were critical of, particularly games one and two for Daly, and that was clarity. Like, obviously he was clear. He wasn't too interested in letting the rest of the world know. But the comparison between the two, with Slater, you kind of always knew where you stood. He always, whether you liked it or not, he always said, you know, we're doing this for Queensland, and we're, and you know, I know this person will come in and they'll do that. And it sounds like already we're getting that from King, so at least he'll be able to play the media game a bit better than, not enough better than Daly. Daly just made a choice that he's got no friends in the media. I'm not going to bow to anyone's stuff, but in a day and age when you kind of, you need to play a bit of that game, I think already King's looking like he will have that covered.
Yeah, as I said, mate, for me, it was the same as Trent Robertson, the way he spoke. Just that, you know, you don't walk away from hearing Robbo talk at a press conference unsure or thinking he doesn't believe this himself. You always walk away going, shit, I believe what he's trying to tell me. You know, I'm buying what he's selling. And just again, I've only heard King speak once or twice since this has happened, but he's similar. He's certainly not going to waste words at press conferences. And I think you're going to get a pretty clear and direct message from him. And if he coaches like that, there's not going to be any doubt that the players are going to be receptive to it and get behind him from the beginning, mate. So it's exciting times just to see, you know, a new coach that is really passionate about it. And I think you'll get that connection similar to what Maguire had with the public. I think you'll get that connection with King. I think he'll be really passionate, really be proud of the jersey, be tough footballers, that sort of mentality. And that's what Origin's been built on. That's what Queensland Origin's been built on. And when New South Wales play like that, they dominate. So if he can get New South Wales to play like that, I think they're going to be huge chances to go back-to-back. So it's exciting for New South Wales.
It is. You mentioned the two-year deal. The only thing that might stand in the way there is if he pursues or gets offered a club role, which plenty of people said he's ready-made to take on one of those roles, then the, you know, the 2 years is off the table. Also, if it doesn't go well next year, well, then we know how much a contract's worth in rugby league these days. So they won't have any hesitation to move on from him, particularly if the pressure's is big. So I think 2 years is a safe in between. It gives some degree of security for the coach, and then it also gives them an option to go, okay, well, this isn't working. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Steve, is are there any older coaches who aren't currently coaching who you might have considered for the role?
Oh, look, you know, you could talk about the Flanagans and the Haslers and those sort of types of players, coaches. But, you know, with respect, they're all starting to have trouble in the NRL. You know, the game has changed that quickly. The players have changed that quickly. And Origin is certainly different. You know, you mentioned it earlier around being more of that people manager and managing four or five assistant coaches, etc. That's the way the game's gone, Origin included. I don't see the upside to it, mate. I really don't. You know, I understand and completely agree with the Ricky Stewart types, the Ivan Cleary types. But for me, if they're not coaching in the NRL now, it's because they've been punted or sacked. And I think a lot of them, unfortunately, have passed them by to be head coaches. You know, the likes of Flanagan, Trent Barrett, even our old mate Seibold from Manly, unfortunately, they're assistant coaches now. That is what it is, right? Even if they've got ambitions to coach in the NRL again, it's all going to have to be at the assistant coach level. So I can't see that really being an option for them, mate. I think either it had to be a Ricky Stewart type who's already in clubland, or they had to go with someone like a Matt King, Boyd Cordner. You know, Brett White was in and around the system. I think that's the way it has to go. And we've seen that even in the NRL. You know, obviously the ones that have done well over the last 4 or 5 years have been those new guys coming in. So I think they've gone in the right direction as far as a new younger coach who has done his time under some pretty impressive head coaches. I think that's a better way to go, mate. Where do you sit on that?
The only one I could think of that fits the bill would be Jeff Toovey. He's been out of the game for 11 years now, but if you look at someone who would be that inspirational type, he did 4 years of coaching, so he knows the game, but if he's going to have high-quality assistants in there to take care of more of the modern style of the game, he has had some parts in some of the international teams more recently. I just had a quick look at his record. He has a coaching win percentage of 58%. Now, there's plenty of coaches who are in the NRL now who would actually kill for something like that. Yeah. It's strange that he never got another gig.
Yeah, I don't know whether Toovey's the modern-day Tommy Radonikis, mate. I don't know whether they'd be telling stories similar to that. I think he's a bit more of the old style. So you're 100% right. If they went with, you know, a Toovey style, they'd need to pack his assistant coaches very well and leave him to more of that, you know, motivation overall coaching aspect. But, yeah, look, as I said, mate, I think they're heading in the right direction with some of these young coaches who know the game, know what the players are like these days and can really put that big camp that, you know, lasts for 6 or 7 weeks together and get the best out of them.
Mm. The only other one that I'd love to – it'd be too much of a gamble, but if you could just get a crystal ball and see how it would pan out, would be Desi, the Nutty Professor. Because he played a heap of Origin. He was one of those players who really stepped up and wholehearted. If you think about the speed of Origin and how fit you got to be, he was one of the fittest guys in the competition, if not the fittest back then. I think the game's passed him by, but I think that would have been, it would have been like, there would have been so many storylines, it would have been fantastic.
Yeah, I think he's, when he was coaching NRL, I think it took the players a year or two to get used to understanding what he was trying to explain to them with the way he speaks, mate. I don't know how a short camp would go with Desi, but you're right. It's even, you know, there was a lot of talk about Andrew Johns. That'd be one you'd like to know how it was going to end before you made the decision to put him in, right? Because that could be absolute rocks and diamonds. And I think, Hasler and Toovey's, I think they sit in a similar mould where, you'd love a crystal ball before making the decision, mate.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we have what we have. All of the rest of that's just a pipe dream, so we'll get behind him and hopefully good things for the Blues. It'll be interesting to see. I know Billy Slater it's a one-year deal, handshake deal, and he'll just keep on going. I'm not sure that he's re-signed for another year. I think he's committed for one more year, but last I heard was that he was reluctant to dive into any more than that. There's been talk about him going to the Storm, all sorts of stuff, but yeah, as always, it'll generate a heap of interest. Now, speaking of generating a heap of interest, let's hope that this game lives up to the hype. It's the 6 o'clock Friday again, which more often than not delivers absolute cracking games. The Warriors and the Panthers, the two teams that we've expected to be there or thereabouts since probably about a month into the season, and they both came roaring back to form last week. This could be anything, this game.
Yeah. Absolutely mouthwatering, mate. It's obviously the game of the week for our preview. But it, for me, it's bigger than that. I think these two heavyweights have been eyeing each other off for round 23 for a number of weeks now, mate. They knew this was coming. They've had a couple of weeks after Origin for both teams just to tune up again. And they both had very impressive performances last week. So this is an absolute belter. Both forward packs, I can rattle off Origin and international players across both packs, and they're going to go out after each other. You know, they played each other earlier in the year, and Fisher Harris, he's always very aggressive and very dominant, but he was really going out after the Penrith pack. He knows that if he can get on top of Leota especially, it's going to go a long way to giving the Warriors the win. So I'm expecting the middle forwards to absolutely build each other up and try and get the dominance, because they know that they're going to come up against each other again in September. It's just a foregone conclusion that somewhere along the line these two are going to meet on the big occasion. So this is going to be an absolute belter. Certainly the forward packs, for me, if anything, I can't believe I'm going to pick one team over the other, but I edge the Warriors. I just like them a little bit more. But on Penrith could come out on top in the middle, and it's not going to surprise me. But just what those middle three have done with Fisher, Harris, Barnett and Clark, I just see them just having just that little bit extra when it comes to it. Certainly the backs, again, is going to be a really interesting contest. You know, the back sort of five from the Warriors, they do so much hard work out of their own half. And then, you know, there's no better than Brian Tuo overall as well for Penrith. So just absolute class and top quality footballers across the park. This will be an outstanding contest.
Yeah, absolutely. I was kind of leaning towards the Warriors as well, but my mind's just gone back to something I heard during the week. It's just talking about the confidence that Nathan Cleary's been playing with since he ticked that box of dominating Origin to win in Game 3, having his hands all over that victory, and then what he's done since then. And you just wonder whether this stage is set for him to have another game that he just carries the whole team on his back. But I'm with you that the forward pack of the Warriors, Fisher Harris does seem to take these things personally. Moses Leota has been a bit quiet, so let's hope he also explodes. In fact, probably since they gave him an opportunity to look at options going back a couple of months. But he also is one of those players that really steps up in the big games. Like his grand final record, I reckon in all four of them, he would have been in the top handful of players for the Panthers, or maybe in the whole game. And, mate, as you said, absolutely mouth-watering with these two big packs going at each other. And, yeah, it'll be take no prisoners and looking forward to it. What other cliches can we fit into this this preview?
Oh, mate, it's just because you're excited to talk about rugby league. Look, for me, I am putting the hard earn on the Warriors for this one. I think at home it's going to be an absolutely hostile environment. And the Panthers are well, you know, experienced in that. They've all played Origin. They've all played international. But I think, you know, playing out of Auckland, I think is going to give the Warriors a huge advantage. And then not having, you know, they're missing Edwards. Obviously, Casey McLean went down with that injury as well. And we've spoken on this show ad nauseum about Mitch Kenny not being out. So I think with those three on the back of it being at home, I think the Warriors will get the chocolates. I think they're going to be that just that little bit too strong, which, you know, is a mouth-watering thought to think that there's going to be a team out there too strong for the way Penrith have played this year. But I just like the Warriors. I just think, you know, last week was a bit better than a couple of those games through that Origin period. They're a little bit fresher. And with those injuries, you know, even their centres at the moment, Leka Haliasima and Ali Lawatawi, they're both, I've just murdered that, but they're both back rowers, right? They're monster units. So they're just huge men across the whole park. So I think this is going to be a big one. The other flip side of this is if Penrith do get the win, all of a sudden the Warriors are going to find it almost impossible to get a top two finish. right? So this means a hell of a lot to both teams just to set the scene for September, but it means even more to the Warriors to make sure that they're giving themselves an opportunity to finish in the top two, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a feeling it's going to be one of these games that'll have surges when a team gets a run of possession. And my mind goes back to the Dolphins game when they played the Warriors going back maybe about a month when one team went ahead and the other team came back, and it was like both teams looked like they were up and about and right in the contest, but just a wave of possession can really change the game. And I think that's been shown this year to be the case. These are two teams that won't go away, so it's not like one team's going to go out and that'll just continue on that momentum. There'll be shifts in momentum, and let's hope that it's as good a game as everyone's expecting it to be.
Yeah, let's hope Jared Sutton's got the whistle. Let's hope he leaves it in his pocket, and the forwards and the back five absolutely belt the crap out of each other, and then four pretty handy halves start to cause some havoc in the back end. You're 100% right with Cleary. For me, if Penrith are going to get over the line, Cleary's going to need to be outstanding once again, and what's to say he won't be, right? Everything's pointing to him being the year. I don't think this will hurt Penrith if they do go down here against the Warriors. I think this will, they'll be more about the performance and how they play rather than the result. As I say, but there's a bit more riding on this for the Warriors. I think the finishing spot for the Warriors is more important than the other teams. You know, the three other teams in the top four are going to all be Sydney-based, so it's not going to have as big an impact come semi-final time. So I just think with that and a couple of those injuries from Penrith, I like the Warriors to get the upset.
Yeah, I think it is an important game for the Warriors, and if they win it, it suddenly opens that top four conversation, because at the moment, like, it's so tight, it can go any way. Like, even the Panthers, you expect them to be wrapping up the minor premiership, but we're not even sure about that now. As was pointed out to us by our Warriors fans who seem to follow quite closely, a lot of them said the same thing, that they play better away. And as we mentioned on the Monday show, they definitely have a massive following wherever they go. So they were of the belief that regardless of where they finish, that they'll be a threat. There was one guy in particular that thought that more than likely they will finish fourth, which means they've got to do it the tough way. But I tell you what, they finish fourth and knock over the Panthers, that just sets them up beautifully as well. So I just think whichever way it goes in this game on Friday, we have just got one of the best finishers. And I can't imagine the winner coming outside of that four. So, yeah, we'll see. But that takes us to topic three. Do we think there is a team in that bottom four that's a genuine chance of going all the way?
Yeah, look, short answer, Hawk, no. I can't see it. I think it's going to be too big a mountain to climb, not only with the way the teams are playing, but, as we're very confident, three of the top four sides are going to be Sydney-based. The ones that look like they may have a slight sniff is probably the Dolphins. They, before they went into Origin, they had the second best defense, and even last year they had one of the best attacking teams in the competition. Essie Katoa's back, so they've got all the right ingredients. They've had a number of players in Origin now that have had a little bit more experience in big game football. So I think if one was going to come from the bottom half, I probably like the Dolphins, especially now Brown and Lucas are out for the Knights. I can't see the other teams being able to put four absolute belters together to get the win on grand final day. They might be able to cause the odd upset. We've seen the Sharks unfortunately go back-to-back losses in Origin a few times over the years. The Roosters finals. The Roosters have had their challenges at different times, but for it to happen with all four clubs in the one year, I just can't see it happening, mate. So I'm very confident the top four will produce the grand final winner like it has done every year since this system's been in. Mm-hmm. But if something was to go wrong and we find one club from the bottom eight with the players and the way they play, that attacking football, they get a little bit of help from the referee, clear, sunny, fast football, The Dolphins are the ones that can still cause some havoc, mate, and could win second week of finals and get themselves into a grand final qualifier. But it'd be a bloody mighty task to try and get all the way through those top four who have just been super impressive.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's those two teams, if it's anyone. But we're looking at the Dolphins' form maybe 6-7 weeks ago, or the Knights fully fit, because they just have that ability to score points at will. But with a couple of really key injuries, they're going to have to, like Ponga would have to absolutely catch fire for them to be a serious threat. I could see both of those teams going on a bit of a run, but I'm just not sure, as you said, they got the firepower to do 4 weeks in a row, and then on the big day against the top four teams who are looking so good at the moment.
Yeah, we've heard from our resident stat man, Will, that the way the referees are going progressively back to the way last year was refereed. You would think that that will be amplified again in the semi-final period, where they're going to let the teams play football. So I don't think that's going to suit the Dolphins and the Knights as much as the defensive, big, hard, tough packs of Penrith and the Warriors, especially. You know, the Roosters and the Sharks forward pack are nothing to sneeze at either. So to your point, I can see them winning a few games here, especially the Dolphins. But to go down to Sydney every week and knock those big guns out, I think it's going to be too far, mate. I think you're looking at the grand finalist and the winners from that top four.
Yeah, agree. Now, how did we go last week in our picks, mate?
Mate, the upset of the round got beaten by 70 points.
I was hoping you'd say that.
The upset of the round was I think the Roosters will win, but don't be surprised if the Cowboys show up and give them a run for their money. So I'm sure by now no one's listening anymore to our upset of the round, because that was an atrocious pick.
But you know what? We've had a pretty good run with the predictions. Every now and then, when you're right 64% of the time.
yeah, that's right.
You're wrong 36% of the time. But we got that horribly wrong.
We got that horribly wrong.
Yeah, what about we got the lock of the week. That was the Waz. And then did we have a...
We had the game, the Penrith Raiders game of the round. So we were probably well right on that being the better game, and we did say Penrith would win out there at Mudgee. So that was a good game of football, and yeah, Penrith were just too strong for the Raiders. So we weren't far off, mate. We can't get the upset right every week.
Nah, and no one could have predicted that the Cowboys would have fallen that flat and the Roosters would have clicked, but we go again. So what are we going for this week, mate? Which is the match that's going to have the biggest impact on the finals?
I think the Roosters Bulldogs. So that's going to have a massive impact regardless of who wins and loses. Obviously, the Bulldogs are on the brink of the eight. They're on the bubble. They're in eighth spot at the moment with 10 wins. The Cowboys are actually below them because they haven't had their third bye and they've had 11 wins. So that's going to be a big one. Obviously, we spoke about the Cowboys' last start was being really, really poor and how they're going to come out of that. But they do have a very soft run coming home, the Cows. So this is a big one for the Bulldogs. The Roosters have been on a run. They're 4-0 over the last month of football. But so are the Bulldogs, right? The Bulldogs have been very impressive. The other big one with this is the Roosters come up against Penrith next week. So they'll want to bank these 2 points to make sure they stay in that second spot. So this will be a big one either way, mate. I've got to stay on the Roosters with the way they're playing. I think they've just been that little bit better than the others. You know, the run that they've been on of late, we've really seen that just sharpen up the way they've played. Obviously, taking out the anomaly of the Cowboys game, they've just been playing some good football. So I like the Roosters with this, but the Bulldogs are playing they're playing back to how they were last year, right? Their defense is getting a little bit better. Their attacks settled down. You know, Crichton obviously taking a different role in the team. So I like the Roosters. And I certainly think they'll win, but either way, this is going to have a monster impact on the way that the top eight finishes.
Absolutely. Big in for the Roosters too, Lindsay Collins. The only concern for the Roosters is that Teddy was spotted in the moon boot earlier in the week, so that'll be an interesting watch. Mm. But you expect they'll be just about full strength. They are certainly in form, and we've talked about it for the last few weeks. Robertson does get them ready for September, and we're only a few weeks away now, so you'd expect them to just be way too good. I still think the Dogs haven't really shown anything to get too excited about, and this is their opportunity. If they can play, even if they don't win, but can come and really be in the contest, then I think they will absolutely make their way into the eight at the back end of the year. Either way, it's going to be a fascinating watch, and what a night of football on Friday night.
Yeah, it'll be huge, mate. The big one for the Bulldogs, if they can get over them, it's those edge forwards. So Kikau and Preston, there's absolutely no coincidence that when they've come back into the side from injury that the Bulldogs have turned this season around. Yep. And Fichetti and Wong on the edges for the Roosters. So obviously Fichetti's been playing some bits and pieces with Crichton out injured. The Butcher boys both playing more in the middle these days, but can both punt on edge. So whoever is up against those Bulldogs edge forwards, that's where it's going to be. If the Bulldogs are going to win, that's where it's going to be at. They're going to be sending plenty of traffic at DCE and Walker. So those two, Fichetti and Wong, will need to make sure that they're protecting their half and making sure that they're doing all the heavy lifting in the defensive line. So can't wait to watch it. It'll be two just outstanding games of football on the Friday night.
Yeah, and it'll be a finals-like intensity, you imagine. Yeah. The Bulldogs fans will be up and about. Like the turnout for them in Melbourne was so impressive. You'd expect them. It'd be just about full house on Friday night, wouldn't it? The Roosters fans have been pretty impressive with the crowd figures that they've got this year, and with them hitting peak form and the Doggies fans travel everywhere. The atmosphere will be electric. Looking forward to that one as well. What about lock of the week? We've been pretty good on the lock of the week, and this one should keep our good friends, the Sharks fans, who have been so kind to us this week. This should keep them happy.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm going to do it, mate, after the absolute bollocking I copped on social media from the Sharks fans. But I unfortunately, for my beloved Drags in the local derby, I think the Sharks are just on that good a roll at the moment. And I just unfortunately can't see the Dragons have enough points to get up over the Sharks. I think they're going to keep on rolling through. They're just really sharp at the moment. You know, Trindle and Hines are really playing hand in hand. You know, it's not fighting each other or not a backseat at the moment. They're really doing well. And Blake Brayley, obviously on the back of the Kangaroo Tour last year, State of Origin this year, he's just turning into a very impressive footballer, mate. So I'm expecting the Dragons to do really well. Obviously, Couchman's out, Toby. So yep. big loss for them. It's only HIA for 1 week, so he'll be right. So they're certainly going to lose a little bit with him. Jake Webster's going to make his debut. He's a young up-and-comer as well, another local junior coming off the production line there. So he'll certainly get a taste of first grade against one hell of a pack for the Sharkies. But, yeah, for my lock of the week, mate, I can't go past the Sharks, unfortunately, for us Dragons fans.
Yeah, absolutely. You just think that the Sharks have found that consistency that we've been on about them finding earlier in the year. They've found it in the last month. Nicho Hynes has kicked 35, not just conversions, goals in a row and doesn't look like missing. So they're going up by sixes every time. They are the sort of team that takes penalties as well when they're on offer, and a forward pack that is just rolling on. Plenty of speed out wide. Ronnie Molotalo is also one of those players that, since he came back from injury, they have been full of energy, and it could get ugly, I think, this one, mate, for the Drags.
Yeah, I will make a correction, mate. Jacob Webster's from Kempsey, so apologies to Webster, but has been with the Dragons since Matthews, New South Wales under 19s, and done a fair bit. So, looking forward to seeing him play. But, yeah, mate, echo exactly what you think there. They'll be too strong. The Dragons will try, but I think lock the Sharks in for another victory.
Yeah, I tell you what was impressive is the performance of the Couchman brothers on the Matty Johns show on Sunday night. Yeah. Did you get a look at that?
Yeah, I did. I did. They're excellent, mate. I also saw a clip of them down at the Thrill Butchers, their local junior club. It reminded me so much of seeing what the Trebojeviches do up in Manly. They just look like they're just wholesome blokes from a good family who, you know, are there for the community. And it's so good that they've re-signed with St George. For all the new additions the Dragons have made next year, for them to lock up Pasifika Tonga signed this morning or yesterday as well to extend himself, the Couchmans, Hamish, Dylan Egan, there's all these players that have been local juniors for such a long time. So it's great. And yeah, they clearly good fellas the way they were on the couch, mate. It was good to see.
Yeah, they told one story about where they'd stepped in for each other as twins, one to avoid a suspension, which would have missed one particularly grade sport game. Yeah. I bet there's plenty of others that they've got up to.
I'm sure, mate. I've seen them play a prank on the Dragons media personnel where one of them turned up for the press conference and they were pretending they were the other one, and the media didn't know until they come back and said, oh, we got you. So, yeah, mate, I'm pretty sure that that's going to be a regular occurrence.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Upset of the week. What do you like, Steve?
Mate, I know I've bashed up Manly all season, but I can't believe Manly are favourites against anyone. I know the poor old Storm haven't won a game for a little while. They're 1-3, but Manly are 0-4 and not looking like getting any better anytime soon for mine, mate. Munster makes his return, which is obviously a huge addition. Jack Howarth back in the centres as well for them. And as we've said in the last couple of weeks, I don't think the Storm have been that bad. They've tried their guts out. The other teams have just simply been more talented than them. You know, we spoke about Oren Keeley starting on an edge for them. He's been absolutely phenomenal with the work rate he's gotten through. And I just think the Storm will just want to continue to keep the standards. And I don't think Manly are good enough from a talent aspect to get over the top of them, mate. So I'm surprised the market has Manly as favourites, because at home, I like the Storm in this one.
Well, it's actually in Perth, and I noticed that's the reason. Tommy Trbojevic was fit but hasn't been named because of the long haul. Yeah, it should be a pretty good game, actually. At some point, you'd expect Manly to bounce back. But I tell you what, if they don't, there's a big line of teams just a win or two below them, which they could suddenly... They were looking like a top four candidate earlier in the season once they went on that run. But they could suddenly be sinking in and around sort of 13th if they don't get a wriggle on and start winning some games, mate, because there's some teams coming for them.
100%, mate. Yeah, I didn't pick up the Perth one. Apologies to the listeners. So that'll certainly probably favour Manly a little bit. They're coming off. They're coming off the bye. Potentially, I can't recall now. What did happen with Manly?
Yeah, that's
last
right.
Week? They are. Yep. Yeah. So they're obviously, you know, common sense to tell you they've been in Perth a bit longer, or I would have thought if I was planning the trip. So I didn't pick that one up, but you're 100% right with Manly. Obviously, Kieran Foran come in and sprinkled some magic dust, and then it's just started to wear off a little bit. Both Ben and Turbo will be out for the game. And with Munster back, obviously he was fairly big in the media about the PNG you know, potential visit. So everything's pointing to the Storm continuing to uphold their standard. Now, they're not going to come up against the Roosters and the Storm, the Panthers, and beat them. They haven't got a talent on the park. But with their effort, I think they're going to have too much firepower for Manly.
While we're talking Perth, it's we shouldn't gloss over a few more signings for the Bears. Pretty good pickup, Puru, for the Sharkies. He can't even get a look in there, but when he filled in for the boys in the halves earlier in the season, he actually was quite impressive. Jack Gold from the Panthers, that adds a bit of depth. Tyson Smoothie, apparently he went quite well in the English Super League. And the rumour is that it's as good as done. Junior Bolo being there for the next couple of years as well. So they have made a fair bit of progress. They're going to have a decent squad, and they just keep building. And Big Mal did say, we're not done, and there will be a few more big signings in the next couple of weeks. Now, you expect one of them to be Bolo, but maybe there's another couple others that that are in the works, so it'll be interesting to see. They've done well.
Yeah, they're doing their best, mate, to do what they can with who's on the market. The big one, Moses Leota's obviously looking around. There's several clubs, Para and Canberra. I think Canberra's an interesting one with Papali'i heading off into the sunset this year. So they won't go down without a fight trying to get Leota. But if the Bears could get him, all of a sudden there's a bit of steel up front. He'll be a very big, interesting watch. But yeah, look, the Perth Bears are doing their best with the circumstances, mate. They're not going to be able to sign the marquees the PNG Chiefs are signing. So they've got to do their best to build a club ongoing. So hopefully they keep doing that, mate. They can pick up another couple of first graders.
Yeah, absolutely. Moses Leota, I'm a massive fan. Like, he's the sort of player that you get scared whenever you play against the Panthers. I just wonder whether at the wrong side of 30, whether maybe you might not get best value for money. I certainly wouldn't be disappointed if Parra signed him. As a limit to high-quality forwards out there. Be interesting to see which way that goes.
Yeah, spot on, mate.
I think that's us for today, mate. Another exciting round of football coming up. Friday night is must-watch, both games will give us a clearer idea of what the finals makeup will be. It'll be interesting to see also if two teams that got a pumping last week, the Titans and the Cowboys, on Thursday night. Well, I reckon this could be a good game too, and you would expect both teams to bounce back, and we'll know if the Cowboys are a realistic chance of still scraping in the eight, or whether they're going to make up the numbers, because this will be no pushover for them against the Titans as well.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Well, they need to win this because there's a few teams that are all competing for those bottom two spots, seventh and eighth on the ladder. So the Cowboys need to shake off whatever happened last week and get on with this, because if the Cows don't beat the Titans, you've got to start to question where their headspace is going to be at and whether they're going to be able to get those last two wins to get them a final spot.
Yeah, absolutely. The numbers have been up significantly on the social, so thank you to all those loyal listeners who are checking out our stuff. Do feel free to drop on over here and give it a follow and a subscribe as well. We've got some big things planned for next year, and also a bit of cricket over the summer. The cricket already starts in a couple of weeks. I'm not sure we'll be doing a show on the Bangladesh series, but it whets the appetite for what's to come over the summer as well.
Looking forward to it, Hawko.
Have a good one, mate.